You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of pet meds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. We are previewing Michigan's 2024 spring game. Going to be a lot of newness to this game. It will, of course, be on Saturday at noon on Fox. I believe that's the first time it's been on Fox. Them and Ohio State both got put on national television. Shows kind of the growth of college football, really. I mean, I remember there were times where this thing wasn't even on TV when I was a kid or whatever, and now it's on national TV, spring game. But yeah, Maize versus Blue format sounds like it's going to be pretty similar to what it was under Jim Harbaugh, but there's a new head coach, there's two new coordinators, by my count, seven new assistant coaches, and of course, Michigan has 18 of its 2023 starters off to the NFL. We'll see if they hear their names called or where they hear their names called next week. But yeah, this team's going to have a lot of new faces or a lot of new guys playing in new starting roles or new to the two deep. So we'll discuss some of the big storylines, both on offense and defense. We'll circle a couple players that we're watching closely. But Steve, we were kind of joking about it before we hit record. You can't talk about the spring game for more than 10 seconds without going to the quarterback position. Michigan losing JJ McCarthy, and we'll see what it looks like on Saturday, but at the beginning of spring, they said it would be a five-man competition. You've got Alex Orji, Jaden Denegal, Davis Warren, Jack Tuttle, and Jaden Davis. Very vast array of skill sets, backgrounds, experience levels in that group. Seems like so far, and Steve, you're welcome to jump in and offer your updates as well, but it seems like so far Alex Orji has maybe captured the imagination of the coaching staff the most. I mean, for those that don't know, I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, he is objectively the most athletic player on Michigan's team. He was last year even. You know, they have the 15 key performance indicators, different drills or workout metrics, and it's kind of based on your size and speed and your position group and things like that. And he's an incredible athlete. He was on the athletics freak list. I'm guessing he'll be even higher this year. But yeah, very impressive combination of speed, agility, strength. And I would say he's got a very strong arm too. You know, I think the real question this spring was accuracy. In terms of what, you know, the insider intel that's been released, it seems like Michigan's fairly pleased with it, but I do, and Steve, you and I can disagree here, but him and Jaden Denegal, as much as there is optimism about what they can be, Alex Orji has one pass attempt in college through two seasons. Jaden Denegal has five. And so this spring game is, whether it's them two, you know, Davis Warren, Jaden Davis, it sounds like Jack Tuttle's been banged up. He's the one of the five that's actually thrown a little bit more. But yeah, this spring game, huge opportunity, I would say, especially for Alex Orji and Jaden Denegal to show kind of the progress that they've made. Because neither one of them, coming out of high school, were lighting it up in the way that some quarterback. You know, they weren't like 10,000 yard passer. They didn't have these prolific passing stats. And so this is an opportunity for them to show, in my mind, how much they've grown. Really hard to say there's anything we're watching more closely in this spring game than that first half of the spring game, the quarterbacks battling it. You know, I think accuracy is a big part of it. I think seeing how they move in the pocket and out of the pocket as well. I'm guessing they won't be getting hit like they would in a real game. But Kirk Campbell did say last month that when it's a quarterback competition, he actually does like to have the quarterbacks be live a little bit more. So he can see how they handle pressure, how they handle, you know, taking a hit, things like that. It's not going to be the same as a game speed, but it might not be the full red jersey all the time either. So I'm very fascinated by the quarterback battle. Steve, I'm guessing you are too. What are some of your thoughts, or what are you looking to see out of the different quarterbacks in the spring game?
It's like, yeah, the microscope's going to be out. There are going to be 50,000 microscopes in the stadium, however many fans end up showing up, right? And then many, many more around the country on TV. And it's fair. Michigan will be a preseason top 10 team. I'm guessing you would agree their defense should be a championship level defense again. I mean, expectations at Michigan are not what they were 2 or 3 years ago, even like, but let's say before this, before the run that they've been on. So it's fair. I think it's different maybe than it's been in the past, where I think now if you're a fan, I think it's
the window fair. Feels open.
Right. And it's, so I think
for
it's
another
fair.
Championship. Like the championship window is open.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's totally fair to come in with a more critical eye on Saturday, even though we're still what, almost 5 months to the season, a little less than 5 months from the beginning of the season. But there's a lot of a lot is different. Michigan does not have the 4 week buffer zone on their schedule to groom a potential starting quarterback. You have Texas coming into town the second week of the season. That, by all accounts, provided Michigan beats Fresno, let's say both teams win their week one game, could be like a top five, top seven type game. So, you know, there's not as much time to get a guy that's ready. And like you said, for all the tantalizing tools and the potential that Orji looks like he could possess, you know, yeah, one career pass. And that's, you graduated your two veteran receivers have moved on. Your star running back, who's one of the best players that's ever come through, is gone. You're replacing your entire offensive line, which again, there's still a ton of talent there. Offensive line, probably not that high on the list of concerns for me personally.
Yeah, much less worried about the O-line than other position groups.
Right. So given, normally if you lost as much as they did up front, you would be freaking out. But Michigan has built such a good stable. Like, you know, we've always talked about back in the day, they were throwing guys out way before they're ready. Now they have guys who have been in the program for 3 or 4 years who are now just going to get their first real extended starting opportunity. But in that case, like when you've been there for 3 or 4, you're way more ready for that type of deal. So, you know, not as much of a concern there, but still, you know, pretty much a revamped offensive unit. So you don't have a quarterback on the roster you could maybe consider a steadying hand at this point. You know, there's just much more unknown, which I think has, you know, some fans, I think there's some, a level of trepidation going in, knowing that this could be another really, really good, you know, Big Ten championship level type football team. But any team that's going to win almost every year forever, it's having a player at quarterback. And so, yeah, the bigger question to me is, what's the second biggest storyline, really, is
sure.
Right. I mean, there's just no doubt that all eyes are going to be, and there'll be overreactions no matter what, if it's good or bad, just because people are so, there's such a higher level of anticipation because you know, it's going to be a totally new face, new group at the position, where I think people are going to overanalyze a little bit. But like I said, I think it's fair to come in with a little bit of a more critical eye than we have in the past.
Yeah, and for those who will be watching closely, a couple things to I would say things to remember is I would not look at the box score as closely as the actual plays. It's not just a Michigan thing. This is true across the board. Quarterbacks in spring games, very rarely are they putting up numbers comparable to what they put up in the season. You know, the defense knows the offense better. And then when you're split squad, I mean, I guess we'll see how Michigan's draft went, but sometimes you don't have your whole offensive line. And the defense has, you know, a little bit more guys who are going to play in games more. And sometimes you don't have, you know, your top three receivers. Like with the split squad, it might not be a full thing. And so I don't know. I think this has always been true at Michigan. And I just peeking at different box scores elsewhere, it seems like it's often true at other schools is, yeah, the box score is not going to – I would be surprised, let me put it like that, if the box score is pretty – on Saturday for any quarterbacks. Maybe I, you know, again, I've been surprised before, but that would be one thing I would say. And then the other thing I would also say is I would not overthink. I mean, this is one of 15 practices and they're still tinkering with stuff, right? They're still, you know, trying different plays. I mean, Kirk Campbell has mentioned he probably will, he won't modify the playbook, but he will modify how they use the playbook. Four different quarterbacks, and what Alex Orji does well is different than what JJ McCarthy does well, and it's different than what Jaden Davis does well. So, you know, I'm telling you to watch closely, but I'm also saying try not to overthink. But Steve, real quick before we move on, this does not have to be a long debate because I it's not really our place because Michigan's just going to do whatever they want to do. But kind of the elephant in the room of the spring game, and this is, I would say, most true at quarterback, but there's a couple other position groups as well where if Michigan doesn't like what they see with fans in the stands and maybe the lights on proverbially, you know, there is the transfer portal window. And Michigan was, I mean, they got a couple guys, but they were not super active in the transfer portal because, one, they were preparing for the Rose Bowl and then the national championship, and two, you know, they didn't know every draft decision. They didn't know Jim Harbaugh's decision. So it was kind of a weird spot where Michigan, I mean, they definitely reached out to a lot of guys, but I don't know how hard they could really recruit the portal in the December, January window just because of those situations. Is there anything you can say? I mean, where do you fall on this in terms of the transfer portal quarterback deal? And is there anything on Saturday that could change your mind one way or another?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there are things we could see on Saturday that'll change some minds, right? Like you said, it kind of felt like the spring was going to be the window that Michigan was going to be a little bit more aggressive with. I think when you talk about like quarterback and stuff, it's a lot more of a delicate situation. I don't think you're going to hear or even get any type of intel that's going to suggest that Michigan's like actively looking.
The feather ruffling would be
right. A little bit. It's a little bit different.
You kind of have to be like working silence a little bit.
Yeah. So a little bit different. But the philosophy under Jim, and I can't assume it's changed one bit under Sharon, is any positions on the table in the portal, if they feel like they're improving their roster from top to bottom by taking a guy. Kind of think of the year when they took, I don't really remember, you might know, remember better than me, but even when they took Daylon Baldwin, it didn't really feel like receiver was like top priority. And then
I think that's fair to say. Right? Yeah. I mean,
And then what was ironic about that one was it was actually Michigan and Ohio State that he decided between. And, you know, Ohio State doesn't really ever need receivers out of the portal, I feel like. I mean, they've taken one or two maybe here or there, but that's normally a position of strength for them as well. So, any positions open on the board, I think we'll see. Receivers kind of one of the big ones where I think they just need a couple guys. That was a position where they were, I'd say, I don't want to say aggressive. They did reach out, but you know, receivers a little bit of a different deal in the portal, I feel like, right now. So how they approach that will be interesting. But just from a sheer, you know, you lost Wilson, you lost Cornelius Johnson, Carmelo English entered the portal, Darius Clemens entered the portal.
Dixon is scholarship guy as
Christian
well.
Christian Dixon's out now. So, I mean, you're talking about losing five and adding, what, two? Channing Goodwin and forget. But that, I'm pretty sure they only took two true receiver commits in the 24 class. And it was already a position that has – there isn't really a – you know, maybe Fred Moore, but there isn't maybe a guy in the roster you look at and say – this guy's a for sure number one at some point in his career, right? He's at least going to get that opportunity. So, you know, interesting position for them there. We know they're not necessarily reliant.
Real quick,
yeah,
because I think we'll talk about the defense and the O line in a moment. At quarterback, is there anything that you like? Obviously, there's like general good and bad. Like, is there anything you want to see from, be it Orji or whoever else is there? Because like for me, I think I would feel more confident in Michigan riding with the group that they've got if Orji comes out and you see the touch, right? We've seen the velocity on his throws, but the accuracy, the touch, you know, can he get it over the defense, kind of slot it right where he needs to be? That would make me kind of pick up what Michigan's putting down so far, which is confidence in Alex Orji. They feel like he's grown a lot. And then I think if there's a second guy, maybe Jaden Denegal, maybe Davis Warren, I don't know, who looks like he could compete for the starting job, that would make me think that maybe they can pull this off. But otherwise, I think you have to be aggressive because you have that window. You can't have a defense that could be the best in the country and an offensive line that, you know, looks extremely big and talented and not try to have a quarterback who can match that level of play. So for me, I'm actually a little bit more team pick up a transfer, you know, do whatever sleuthing, whatever tampering you have to do, right? You know, it's kind of work behind the scenes. There's lots of ways to avoid whatever the NCAA is considering the rules there. The only thing that would really change my mind is if Orji comes out and has a lot of touch and it looks like there's like a clear number two who can push him all summer. Where do you fall on the quarterback side of things and anything you can see from specifically the quarterbacks when it comes to Saturday?
Oh, I'm fully in agreement with you. Maybe I didn't make that clear enough. Like I think Michigan should, I mean, we just talk, I keep going back to the one career pass at the collegiate level. I mean, to me that automatically means you should at least be, you know, I look at it in reverse. If a talented player enters the portal and a guy maybe who has played and a guy that could be a number one, you got to think Michigan, if Michigan did show, Michigan's got to be one of the first schools at this point that a kid is going to look at. Because, I mean, like you said, it's a team that should win a lot of games this year just off of their defensive ability alone. And there's again, this one area where you'll be able to use JJ too, depending on where not depending on where he goes. He's going to go high enough where Michigan's going to be able to use it recruiting wise if they want to. So, I mean, I you know, it's a two-sided, double-edged sword. You know, I think if you're a potential, you know, top level portal QB that enters, you'd think if like I said, if Michigan was interested, and the body of work would have to be more than this just Saturday. You know, if you're the Michigan staff, to, if he comes out, if Orji or any of the guys come out and like look really, really good, I basically chalk it up as the same as like if they just had a really good practice.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's one practice,
right? It is, and especially as you mentioned, the split squad part is such a big deal because it really does like throw off. And that's another thing to consider as far as like, you know, and again, we don't know what the draft results are, but let's just say, for the hell of it, let's just say that one of the teams drafted both. Let's just say they spent their first two picks on Graham and Grant. Like, That team's going to have whoever's playing
fair.
Quarterback,
yeah.
Right? Whoever's playing quarterback on the other side, on that other side, at least when those two guys are in, is going to have a lot of trouble. Almost assuredly is going to have a lot of trouble. So, you know, there are contextual things that you might want to keep in mind when watching on Saturday. But like I said, even if a guy, and I say this goes both ways, whether a guy has a great day or a bad day, I basically chalk it up to, yeah, maybe a little bit more than like a regular practice, but not much more. And I still think I'm fully convinced that Michigan's at least going to, they're definitely going to be keeping an eye on who enters. I mean, I'd be shocked if they weren't. It's just a matter of, it's a little, quarterback's always a little more of a delicate situation. You know, as far as like,
no matter who they pick, and I'll be blunt, I doubt all five current quarterbacks.
Sure.
Are yeah. staying. Is that maybe I
yeah
forgive like, me if that's like a controversial thing, but I'd be surprised if the current fourth or fifth string quarterback is like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, let's say Alex Orji wins the job. I mean, if you're Jaden Denegal, you came in the same class as he did.
Yep.
Right. And again, that's a situation where it's like you're not blaming the kid at that point. Like you
no,
wanna,
no, it's
yeah, you're not
winning
entering,
or bailing.
No, it's not at all. Especially after a 3 year, two and a half years, you go through two seasons and then another set of spring ball. You know, at that point, you probably have at least a decent idea of where you are in the pecking order, and then knowing
right.
what the future looks like, then yeah, at that point you should be rooting the kid on if they decide to go somewhere else, like let him get an opportunity to compete and play. So no, but I am with you though. If I'm Michigan, I'm at least keeping my ear to the ground at quarterback, because there's always there was talk about the debate about like, well, are a lot of good quarterbacks going to enter the portal in the spring or maybe not? To me, it doesn't matter as much, because Michigan should be one of the five or six schools if a top guy did enter.
They might be one of one.
Right? I mean, of the schools, at least near the top right now, I don't know of any other that are like actively looking for a starting quarterback in the portal, right? It feels like that's the one thing with Michigan compared to a lot of other teams in the top 10 to 12 this preseason, is Michigan does have a lot of great things going for it, but they're the one team that their question mark is, what are they going to have at quarterback? You know, and so there might not be a high level of competition for a guy who enters in the spring, you know, so to me, it's like, whether there's a flood of guys at quarterback that come in or not. Yeah, I think Michigan would be one of the schools in position to get a guy regardless, just because, you know, I'm trying to think right now, but, you know, Georgia, Bama, Texas, Oklahoma, SC, Oregon, like all those schools already have
a lot of them got their guy in the
right?
winter portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida State. You know, it's like, so, you know, yeah, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Michigan should be, you know, I would think would be one of the first schools any decent.
If I'm Michigan, I am looking up Power Five programs that are not projected to be that good this year, but do have quarterbacks on draft boards. And I might be trying to see if a friend of a friend of a friend can, you know, pass along a message. I don't know. Is that weird to suggest on a podcast? I just feel like that would be my strategy, is like, just because people haven't entered the portal doesn't mean, I mean, you're seeing every school in the country do this.
You mean tamper? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just because
no.
a guy's not in the portal doesn't mean you can't inquire.
Dude, we're at the point.
Maybe
we're
let
at the
it
point.
Be known.
Yeah. We're at the point now. It's fine to open. I think from our standpoint, it should be fine to openly say, you know, Michigan should be tampering like everyone else. I mean, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me, right? I mean, it's.
It does. I think if you're Michigan, it does have to be a quarterback worth losing two of your guys over.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That's not me saying, oh, such and such is going to leave, and nothing like that. Just if you're Michigan and you bring in a quarterback, it can't be another guy in the mix. It's got to be the guy, in my opinion. Otherwise, you're just muddying the waters and you're disrupting the culture. That's like the thing. There are guys being they're going to take your spot, and in exchange, they want a similar level of loyalty from you. And it does seem like Michigan, more than other programs, Clemson's probably in the same boat, although it seems to be not working in their favor. But, you know, Michigan's definitely got this approach where they're not trying to take guys' spots. You know, they want you to feel like you can become whoever you can become at Michigan. But, yeah, so basically what I'm saying is it's not worth disrupting, rocking the boat, just muddying the waters, potentially losing quarterbacks, unless it's, like, clearly the guy and clearly a guy that the rest of the team can rally around. Okay, so with that, we're going to pivot to the rest of the team for the spring game. We're going to hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about the biggest storylines on offense and defense, and then some players, be it, you know, under the radar guys or guys who are stepping into starting roles that we will be watching a little bit more closely on Saturday. This is the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
So, Steve, other than quarterback, what is the biggest storyline you will be watching or monitoring or keeping tabs on in Saturday's spring game?
Would we say at this point that Marlon Klein has been the most talked about guy as far as like a guy who hasn't maybe played extensively, but it just feels like they're really
excited about him? Yeah, he's probably got that title, that name.
The hype guy.
Buzz. Yeah.
So I, you know, I'll go there with that. And then another guy is Benjamin Hall at running back is another one that I'm interested to see. He was one of the best players in the spring game last year, if I remember right, wasn't he? He was kind of the talk of the spring game last year, I feel like. But another guy that, you know, who Michigan's always like to run three if they can. We got to think Mullings and Edwards are going to kind of be that 1-2. Reverse it. Edwards 1, obviously. Mullings 2. But, you know, with Jordan Marshall not enrolling until the summer, interested to see if Hall can kind of emerge as that third guy. It kind of feels like he's the guy they think can. But I honestly, of the guys they signed in 24, I mean, Jordan Marshall might be the best player in the class or could be. So, might be imperative for Hall to kind of get off to a nice head start this spring before Marshall enrolls. Because Jordan Marshall looks like a guy who could be capable of taking carries as a freshman if they needed him to. So that'll be another one. Receiver depth, obviously, but like we've already talked about, I feel like they're going to add a couple names there. So it's, I don't think the position's a finished product yet either way. Marlon Klein, Ben Hall, a couple guys I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah. Those are two that I know I'll be keeping an eye on as well. I've got a story that'll be coming out over at the Michigan Insider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. It's it's 10 players to watch in the spring game, but it's really one per position. Because if we did the top 10, it probably quarterback would probably have four of the top six, right? So this is one per position, and those are the guys I'm watching at tight end and running back, because there is definitely some hype, and I think there's enough there. I mean, Ben Hall, he was the leading rusher in the spring game last year. Multiple coaches and players have compared him to Hassan Haskins in terms of the way he can run through contact, keeps his center of gravity. I don't know how much you've seen him in person, Steve, but he's a big dude. He's only 5'11", 6 foot, but in terms of he is rocked up and just
does he physically, like, does he look like Blake physically kind of?
Maybe I don't know.
Like, I know the one thing I remember with him is he's got some massive like quads, like his thighs are,
yes,
are humongous. Yes. You know, I know Blake is pretty much rocked up everywhere, but I don't know if Hall is, you know, Blake's kind of one of one, I suppose, in that regard. But,
well, and Ben Hall's a little bit taller, right? Sure. I think he's still, but yeah, I mean, he looks like someone that can shed a few tackles. So, and you're right. Very strong lower body. And I guess we'll see. I mean, him and Khalil Mullings have probably some stylistic similarities, which is good for Michigan, because I think it complements what Donovan Edwards brings really well. And so, yeah, I think the two of them will continue to be pushing for carries, and they'll be players to watch. I'm sure, I got to imagine both of them are entering Saturday, wanting to lead the game in rushing yards. I feel like that'd be a goal for them. Marlon Klein, we've talked about him a little bit on the podcast, but I mean, 6 foot six in high school at 230 pounds. He ran a 11 second 100 meter dash. I think he might have even been under 11. I would have to double check, but he's got some real athleticism. He's definitely, you know, I think it was always kind of a matter of when, and I know Sherrone Morris kind of compared him to Luke Schoonmaker for a couple years now, and similar to Schoonmaker. I mean, Schoonmaker, he had two catches in his first three seasons on campus, and then it was his fourth and fifth seasons where he really broke through. So Klein could be a year early, but there also is just more room for him. So he'll definitely be a player to watch. I think the storyline, I mean, the skill position deal is definitely a thing, because if you count carries and receptions, Michigan has to make up for more than 35 touches per game last season that they have to replace. Roman Wilson, Blake Corum, Cornelius Johnson, AJ Barner, a few of the guys who transferred who weren't necessarily starters, but you know that if you look at the overall production, it's pretty much two thirds of their touches need to be replaced. And so how do guys like Tyler Morris, Samaj Morgan, Donovan Edwards? I mean, I feel like there's really not a ton of guesswork with Colston Loveland. But yeah, Marlon Klein, you know, can other running backs or tight ends step up? That's definitely a storyline. I think the one that I'm going to be looking at, probably the one that's hardest to evaluate in a spring game, but that offensive line, because I got to say, I know they're replacing 4,200 snaps on offensive line from last season alone. And those six offensive linemen, who all of whom might hear their names in the draft next week, 200 combined career starts between them. So yeah, you're right. In a normal year, that's a tremendous amount of attrition. And usually one that even a good offensive line is going to be rebuilding, not reloading. But Michigan, Miles Hinton, multi-year starter. Josh Preeb from Northwestern, multi-year starter. And then Greg Crippen, Gio Elhadi, you know, Andrew Gentry, Jeff Percy, guys who have been in the program for, I think all of them have been in it for, this is their fourth year. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, all of them were pretty highly touted recruits. I know and Gentry were. They were top 100.
Yeah, Crippen, Raheem Anderson, Crippen, another four-star.
Crippen won a national title at IMG. He was J.J. McCarthy's center, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's not only a big experienced room, but it's a talented one from a recruiting perspective as well. So I'm actually fairly optimistic on the offensive line. Like, if I were ranking my five biggest question marks for Michigan, I actually don't think offensive line would make the cut. So I'm curious to see, but that said, I'm curious to see what some of these guys look like. Did any of them Did the guys who were a little bit leaner, did they bulk up? Did the guys who, you know, are trying to be starters this year, did they cut down a little bit? You know, what's the footwork look like? You know, the pad level. I mean, it's kind of annoying, you know, the spring game because it's contact, but it's not the same as a game. So this is not a game where I think the offensive line is going to like assert its will and, you know, mow down the opponents. Plus they're facing Michigan's defense, which is pretty stout up front as well. But yeah, just some of the eye tests, the pecking order. You know, you mentioned Raheem Anderson. I know a guy that's got a little bit of chatter about him this spring is Evan Link. There's been a couple more. There is a battle at right tackle. You know, so yeah, who are some of those next guys? Nathan Afobe, it seems like another guy who's I've heard his name a little bit more this year than last fall. So yeah, seeing who can kind of step up and be in that top 10, because as Michigan showed last year, you genuinely can't get through a season with just five offensive linemen. You know, you need, especially the way Michigan plays, you know, you need your sixth and seventh guys when you in those gotta have it situations, short yardage, and then injuries happen as well. I mean, I think it is the most underrated part of Michigan's national title run with that they lost a unanimous All-American, two-time All-Big Ten, four-year starting offensive lineman who was a captain, and they closed out a win against Ohio State, won the Big Ten championship, won the Rose Bowl, won the national championship. And Trente Jones, I mean, it's a totally different deal, but for him to step in, I mean, that was like Cardale Jones in 2014, to be honest. Like, for him to wait his turn, and I know that was hard on him because we talked to him and he was pretty open about it being frustrating and not being excited about it and things like that. So for him to wait his turn and then be ready and step up, I mean, that was a huge deal. So yeah, seeing who that depth is going to be this year, who knows, it might not be quite as dramatic as that, but injuries are going to happen. You are going to need to have more than five, six, seven guys to be successful. So I'm really curious to see like who that top 10 is and what do they look like? You know, who passes the eye test to me? All right, so Steve, switching over to defense. Oh, sorry, real quick. One player I'm watching that we haven't mentioned a ton is Fred Moore, because I think in a ideal situation for Michigan, he's 6'1". You know, I feel like he can be a physical receiver. I feel like he can be one of those answers at the outside. I don't know if he'd be the guy this year, but I feel like he can step up. Roman Wilson had a lot of nice things to say about him at the NFL Combine. I know that. Yeah, curious to see what he looks like. We didn't see him a ton last year. And so, but I think there was prior to the season, I don't know if there was injury. I don't know if it was just true freshman, you know, the freshman wall or whatever. But, you know, in the summer, he was getting a little bit of a positive buzz. So, yeah, seeing what he can bring this spring and assuming he's healthy in the spring game, that is a player I'll be watching. Steve, switching to defense, what's the biggest storyline that you're keeping an eye on? I mean, you know, it's a little different than offense. There are probably stars and starters at almost every position, but I do think the depth still needs to be filled out. And there's a couple position battles that I would say are not done deals just yet. What are you watching the closest?
Probably the pecking order at corner behind Will Johnson is probably the number one thing I'm interested in. It feels like up front, there's a pretty good idea. You know, it's clear that TJ Guy is going to be one of the two guys behind Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore. Maybe that fourth edge might be a conversation about that. But for me, it's really the pecking order at the cornerback position, which again, got to assume that some combo of Jair Hill and DJ Waller are the second and third guy, but I'm kind of curious to see you get to four, even get down to five, you know, who has sort of emerged there. I'm also of the school that I think corner's another position where even if you have, because you could probably argue, you know, Waller played quite a bit last year. And you could argue, I mean, well, I think a lot of people would agree, eventually would have like a much higher ceiling than like a Josh Wallace, who ended up being one of Michigan's unsung heroes last year.
Yeah, for right? sure.
But, you know, so there might be more, like the talent level in that room might be actually a little bit higher from top to bottom. But I'm still of the school, like I'll be very surprised if we don't hear Michigan at least sniffing around at some cornerbacks in the portal. I think it's that position. You just can't have enough good players in that spot at the college level. And that's not even like you have to prepare for Ohio State because they have really good receivers. Like, it's not even an Ohio State comment. It's just legitimately, I think, to compete, it's not up there with like I think Michigan is in such a good spot because of what they have up front with Graham and Grant. I think that interior defensive line is probably is really kind of the tone setting position defensively. But I would argue corner is not too far behind when you have enough, you know, good, talented, dependable players at that spot. So that's a position I'm going to be watching. Also sort of along, the nickel spot too, who's in the lead, you know, to take Mike Sainristil's spot. That'll be fascinating. I mean, again, you talk about a guy that Michigan is going to miss this year. It's going to be really hard to replicate that production. Not just the production, but like the timing, like the timeliness of like big plays and pivotal plays. So, you know, it sounds like Zeke Berry's been getting some looks there. I think that's a great potential fit for him. Cody Jones is another talented guy, younger guy. And then
Burroughs played there quite a bit last year, actually.
I think he was one
of those guys when I look at the stats, it's like, oh man, he played like almost 200 snaps at the positions. And he did fairly well.
I was just going to say, it feels like would kind of still be the guy I would predict being the leader in the clubhouse because, he played extensively last year, but he played quality football. And I do feel like, was it Sainristil? There might have been some. He got a couple mentions postseason from a couple guys on the team who aren't with the team. I think it was Sainristil who mentioned him a couple times as a guy that he thought was like, I guess you'd say like next.
Yeah, McBurrows is definitely a favorite among the players in terms of like a guy who hasn't quite gotten his due. You know, what he can do in practice hasn't quite, you know, whether it's injuries. I know he was injured a lot last year. And then also just depth chart. I mean, they didn't have a lot of reason to play him last season just because Sainristil, the safety room, the cornerback room, it seemed like they had what they needed. So, yeah, he's definitely a player to watch. Totally agree with you at corner and nickel. You know, in terms of the portal, I would think nickel safety might be more the priority number one for me just because of Rod Moore's injury. I know they have Makari Page. They have Quentin Johnson. I actually think Brandon Hillman, when I do my players to watch, I'm going to list him as well because I think he's definitely someone that has the skill set and the potential for a sophomore year breakout. Same time, you know, just kind of feel like there's room to add a guy. I mean, I feel like that's a position where maybe you don't necessarily just like only look for like a grad transfer. Maybe you look for a guy who can step in for a multi-year starting role, similar to what Michigan's done at linebacker the past couple of years with Ernest Hausman, Jayshon Barham. Barham might only be around 1 year, but he is a junior, guy that maybe can help you, but also can grow at Michigan. I feel like there's room for a safety. I feel like there's room for a safety nickel. I'm very sold on Waller and Hill at corner. So, you know, I guess Saturday will influence that decision. But to me, I almost feel like you could just stick with those guys because they are not only really fun players to watch. Like you watch their high school film, it's just fun to watch them play. But they're also big, athletic. I think they can grow into NFL draft prospects. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement in the room. I think I wrote in my story, there's 8 former 4 or 5-star recruits at defensive back for Michigan right now. That's pretty good. At the same time, you know, I think there's a lot of guys who are either on their way and just haven't quite hit their, or this is their sophomore year, their junior year. But yeah, I think there could be room for a transfer. I think more so personally, more so at safety/nickel than corner/nickel. I think another area I'm really curious about, I think, you know, watching the linebackers, that'll be a big one too. But I think the depth on the defensive line, because I guess it kind of does. I don't know if it always gets enough credit, but the depth of Michigan's defensive line the last few years has really, really, really been incredible. I mean, the guys who, like last year's second string defensive line in terms of snap count was Josiah Stewart, Derek Moore, Kenneth Grant. He started five games, but he played less than Mason Graham and Chris Jenkins. And then Rayshon Benny. Like, you look at their numbers, that's an incredible production level from a second string defensive line. And you saw it all the time. You know, Mike Elson would hold up. I can't remember what his hand signal was, but basically it was like every four plays they would switch, and they never really had a drop off. And I think it says a lot that goal line stand against Alabama, like, you know, we were asking a few of the starters on the defensive line after the game, like, oh, what'd you see on that play? And they're like, yeah, I was on the bench. the second string was in, and they still made that play. And that, in the trust that Michigan had in them time and again to make big plays and big stages. I mean, the depth is huge. If you ask any member of Michigan's defensive line the last few years, what was the biggest strength of the defensive line? They would all say the depth. They would say being able to, in the fourth quarter, you've only played 30 snaps. Like, you don't have to log a full game. You're not exhausted. You're not beaten down from this battle in the trenches. You're ready to go. And the offensive line's, you know, the opposing offensive line, that's who's tired. That's who's gassed. That's who's sick of being out there. And you've got fresh legs and you can rotate in and out. Different guys bring different skill sets. So these offensive linemen have to, like, spend time thinking and remembering the scouting report and seeing who can do what for you. This year, I think there's potential for depth, but I don't know that we've seen enough of it yet, right? TJ Guy getting a lot of buzz this spring. I would argue he's not Marlon Klein territory, but he's starting to get there. Eno Etta, similar. Seems like there's a lot of positive buzz for them. Cameron Brandt. But I think there's room for one, we want to see them on Saturday and what they look like, both in production, but also, you know, how they move, how they bend, things like that. But I think there's room for more, right? There's a few other guys who could step up, like a Trey Pierce or a Keyshawn Bennett, or there's probably a few. And there's some upperclassmen, there's some underclassmen. But I think if you're Michigan's defense and you're going through the checklist, I think you start with the secondary in terms of figuring out who those final couple starters are and who are your main rotation guys. But I think priority number two might be get the defensive line rotation to the point where you don't have to play Josiah Stewart 50 snaps a game. You know, maybe you can get him down to 40 if in a 60 snap game, hypothetically. You know, you don't have to play Mason Graham every snap of the game. Cause I think at his best, you know, he is rotating in a little bit. It might not be a true one-to-one rotation like last year, but yeah, I think it behooves Michigan to have guys who can step up and make some plays. And frankly, even though there's a lot of talent in the room, I kind of wonder if Michigan takes a peek at, I mean, we saw they offered TJ West out of Kent State. Right. And so I think they're aware of it too, that if they could have one or two more guys in the defensive line be quote unquote starter caliber, I think they would feel really good about that line. Cause I think the top four, maybe the best in the country, Stewart, Graham, Grant, Moore, that's really good. That's excellent. That's probably four guys who will hear their name called in the 2025 NFL draft. But yeah, behind them, can a guy like TJ Guy or Eno Etta or Cameron Brandt or some of these other players, can they step up? And obviously Benny will be back. I think he's out this spring with that injury he had in the Rose Bowl. But yeah, you probably want to get up to seven or eight guys that you can really trust in any down, any distance, any situation to step in. All right, Steve, anything else you're watching from the spring game? I feel like we've covered just about all the bases, but just in case any players that you're going to, you know, maybe pause the play and take another peek at what they do, or put the magnifying glass on.
So not a player specifically, but a large group, many of which, a decent amount of which we've already mentioned, but you know, kind of compared that. I don't know if you remember, it's been a while now when you think about it, but Michigan's 2018 class was like that smaller class, but it was a little lower. It was lower ranked than people wanted. People were really upset, and it actually turned out to be like a really good class. 2023 was pretty similar, right? I mean, Michigan finished 20th, but had a lot of guys, especially guys they picked up late that we really seem to kind of like. And so there's a few of those guys I'm kind of looking at, you know, just to maybe get our first extended look at them, like a Breon Ishmael, who's I believe is practicing at edge. Kumba, the Frenchman, another edge. Jason Hewlett, another Ohio guy they got late, who's a line practicing, been practicing at linebacker. I know Michigan was really high on his potential, you know, but I think he was also a guy, was not going to be a year one guy, probably not even a year two guy. But year two, you maybe at least, you know, maybe we could at least see something. Tony Elli at tight end, Amir Herring on the offensive line, Zach Marshall, another tight end that Michigan really liked. Even Kedrick Bell, quarterback converted wide receiver, Ronnie Bell's brother. I mean, I think if Michigan had their wish, he'd be the type of kid that would break out because he's exactly what they need at 6'3". He's one listed 180 in his high school profile. I got to assume he's a little bit bigger than that now, but still. So yeah, that 23 class, like a lot of those guys who second year in the program, kind of interested to see how they sort of come out, or if not even, but if any of those guys just kind of flash, like if any of them are guys that we're mentioning in the post podcast and stuff, because there are, or Evan Link even at offensive tackle, 88 in the composite, but Michigan was way higher on him than the rating and ranking was. I mean, he was like a big time for them. So yeah, a lot of those guys. Hayden Moore, another linebacker, could, you know, I think Michigan would hope that he's a depth piece. I think he won Scout Team Player of the Year last year as a freshman. He was the Scout Team Player of the Year. I'm about 80% sure that was the case. So that can sometimes bode well for a kid's future. So yeah, just some of those kind of names. Can't you mention Cam Brandt? He's another one I'm interested to see. I feel like Michigan's really high on both he and Etta, and Trey Pierce, if we're beyond. I mean, all three of those guys feel like at one point or another we've heard really good things about those guys. So so yeah, kind of a random grouping of kids, but that class as a whole, it was
That's an
always,
important class this year, right? Like
yeah,
that's
you want to see
I mean, I don't want to
progress.
be Well, and I think Michigan the last three seasons, one thing that often gets overlooked, because there are star players, but there's also guys who pop as first year starters, have breakout seasons. I did the math on defense. I'm sure it's slightly less on offense, but probably not that much less on offense. But over the last 3 years, Michigan has had 17 first-year defensive starters be named to one of the four first, second, or third, or honorable mention all Big Ten teams, including three first-teamers and a second-teamer. And so I think that's really been, you know, there's a lot of reasons that Michigan has been very successful the last 3 seasons, but I think being able to have guys just step up, you know, whether they were under wherever they were ranked as recruits, wherever they're at in their careers, they see an opportunity, they go get it. And a lot of them have gone on to become NFL draft picks or all Big Ten or all Americans. And so, yeah, being able to have guys step up, and I think that class especially, I'm with you. I'm a lot of intrigue, and maybe not like this is not like a now or never for any of them, I would say, but if it's now, you know, if you think about what it takes, you know, if you're putting together the national championship formula, you know, that's a good ingredient to have. It's guys from that recruiting class kind of step up and start making some high level play now. You know, why not? The starting jobs are available in a lot of cases, and the two deep jobs are definitely available with all the attrition. Show what you've learned. Show, you know, what you did this off season or last fall behind the scenes. You know, can you put in the work and show some progress? All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. I feel like that was a very extensive preview. I can't imagine anyone's going to comment and be like, you forgot about this guy or that guy. But, you know, I guess Jayshon Barham is one guy we haven't mentioned. It'll be fun to watch him. I think there's a lot of chatter about him this spring, which makes sense. He was arguably a top three player on Maryland's team last year. And now he's coming to a defense where he won't have to be asked to wear as many hats, and he can just be a really good linebacker. So maybe that's one other guy that we haven't mentioned that I'll be watching closely on Saturday. But be sure to check out the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com for tons of coverage from the spring game. I think we'll have something from pretty much our entire team. You know, we'll be on hand, and we'll be talking to the players afterward. And obviously we'll be writing about some of the things we saw and some of the things we're hearing from the late stages of spring practice. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you next time.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.